It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello, and welcome to the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist Malia Jacobson. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am so excited to jump into this topic. We are going to be talking about mattresses. And not only that, we are going to be talking about mattresses with a journalist from Consumer Reports. I love Consumer Reports. They are not paying me to say this. I am so, so excited to get the real scoop on the best way to spend your hard-earned money if you need to invest in a mattress. You know, many of us are spending more time in bed this year. We have more time to rest. Maybe we are doing more relaxing at home and maybe suddenly aware that we need to upgrade that mattress. But there's also a lot of financial concerns and other stressors in our environment and our world right now. And so I really wondered whether this was the right time to talk about this issue, but enough listeners and people asked me questions about this topic that I really did decide that it was a good time to look into this issue. We are all trying to be more careful with our money, our resources, our time, and we're all also trying to make our homes the healthiest and the most restorative environments that they can possibly be for ourselves and our loved ones. Talking about mattresses is a pretty complex topic, it turns out. Mattresses are very heavily marketed, and I really wanted to talk to someone who could give a perspective on the best offerings out there without being tied to any specific brand. So I'm so very grateful that Consumer Reports responded to me. And today I'm going to be speaking with Hania Ray. She's an accomplished journalist who covers sleep products for Consumer Reports, and she's the author of their 2020 report on the best mattresses. She writes about the intersection between design and technology, whether for drywall or robotic vacuums, or in this case, sleep products, and how the resulting combination affects consumers. She's written about consumer advocacy issues for publications like The Atlantic, PC Magazine, and Popular Science, and she's now tackling the issue for Consumer Reports. I really enjoyed my discussion with Hania, and I think you will too. Here we go. Hania, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad that we were able to do this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Malia. This is exciting to be able to talk about mattresses and sleep products, which is what I cover for Consumer Reports.
Yes, I am very excited as well. I've wanted to do a podcast about this for some time and kind of hesitated in the current environment because a lot of people are experiencing financial difficulties, and I wasn't sure if people would really want to hear about making a big purchase, if that's really where people's minds were. And then I started seeing and hearing so many people asking for recommendations on mattresses and thinking about investing in a mattress. And it's definitely been a question that I've been getting quite a bit. And I was just curious myself too, kind of what's new out there in the world of mattresses. So I don't know if kind of the current state of our world affects the way that you've been thinking about mattresses and sleep products, Hania.
Yeah. I think to your point, or to your consideration for price, there are tons of mattresses now below, I think even like $600, that still are actually pretty supportive. I could point to our ratings, but Costco's NovaForm line is one that comes to mind. Even the Amazon Basics mattress, I think it's only $250. If you're like, I'm super strapped for cash, I hate the mattress that I'm on, I think that that's probably the lowest you're gonna find a decent mattress that actually can last you a bit, at least until you can either get something better, or maybe you really like that mattress and you keep it, but you don't have to shell out a ton of money for it. But I do think that the pandemic has definitely led to a lot of restlessness. It's clear that, if people aren't, I think this year, maybe I've seen a little bit of drop in people buying mattresses, but that doesn't mean people aren't interested. So my guess is that Like you said, people are in financial hardship right now. Maybe they're trying to see what they can afford. And they, you know, maybe they are having sleep issues and they, you know, they're like, oh, this mattress isn't doing it. It's been around for however many years and like, this isn't cutting it through the pandemic since we're at home more, we're maybe using it a little bit more.
And it could be just people are home more, they're noticing it and they finally have time to do a little bit of research, or they finally are, you know, have the time to give it the focus and attention to actually pick something out, because it can be very overwhelming. And I think that's where I am, is just, it is so overwhelming. And that's why I was so glad to speak with you, because as a writer who specializes in sleep, I get a ton of pitches from mattress companies. I mean, there's no shortage of folks from a mattress company who would have been happy to come and talk to me about their products. There's just so much marketing. And that isn't really what I was after. I was looking for something a little bit more impartial. And that is hard to find, because as I'm sure you know, and we'll talk about in a little bit, testing mattresses is very difficult. I mean, there's a lot of other sleep products that are a lot easier to test. And again, I get a lot of PR pitches and a lot of like, can we send you this and can we send you that? And I'm like, how big is it? I don't know if I want it in my house, you know, but mattresses are bulky. Just the logistics of it is a huge issue. And I wrote a big sleep feature package for Women's Health magazine a few years ago. And we were testing sleep products as part of this, and we wanted to test mattresses. And it was just kind of funny. It was like this comedy of errors. We could not figure it out. Like, we were like, my editors were like, okay, well, can we rent out a warehouse space? And then we have all of our editorial staff go and kind of do a big sleepover, and we'll, you know, see if we'll kind of test and see which mattresses we like, or can we sort of organize this thing where different companies send different mattresses to different editors' homes? And it was just, the logistics of it were just like mind-boggling, and we couldn't do it because of just who has a warehouse space, who has the space to get all these mattresses and organize that piece of it. So we had weighted blankets and, you know, Dawn lights and some other things that we tested, but we could not figure out the mattress piece. And so it is hard when you're kind of sifting through recommendations and reviews, it's tough to actually find folks or who are writing from a more review standpoint and have actually had people on their staff test the mattresses. So it's tough to do.
Yeah. I don't actually test, that's our engineers, but I do totally hear what you're saying. Our testing, you know, I know we spend $80,000 plus a year on mattresses alone. We test about 50 to 70 a year. And then, you know, on top of that, there's like giant machines that poke and prod these things.
Exactly, yeah.
And like, you know, and we test for, like, we have pressure sensors so that, you know, if somebody's laying on their back, we want to see like where they sink in. You know, mostly what we're trying to do is see how well that mattress keeps the curve of the spine level. The idea is that the more twisted or like out of alignment your spine is while you're sleeping, the more restless you'll be during bed, because you're trying to essentially like rebalance yourself constantly. And then on top of that, we have like a giant roller that's like 308 pounds that goes over the mattress. I think it takes like 30 hours for it to basically pulverize
it. Yeah.
And we, you know, we're just looking to see if it still retains whether it sags, whether it develops any sort of damage to it, because people in different situations, like, you know, I know, like, we would still recommend kids not jump on a mattress that can damage the springs.
Sure, but they do.
Yeah, exactly. Normal wear and tear is also, like, you know, most mattresses come with a 10-year warranty, I believe. And, you know, we're just trying to make sure it holds up for at least that amount of time.
Right, yes. And that's another piece of it, too, is when you talk about testing mattresses, it's not just still sleeping on it for a few nights and, oh yeah, I like that, because that's the point of view that most consumers write their reviews. If you're reading reviews that people write is, oh, I slept on it and I feel amazing, you know, but it, you have no idea how it's going to hold up in 5 years, 10 years, you know? Yeah. So that's good information to have. So what brands do you guys typically test?
Yeah, that's all over the board. we do keep our eye on, you know, newer startups, or if, you know, older companies are launching their own brands, or if, you know, giant companies are launching their own brands, such as Amazon and Walmart. So we definitely have some legacy brands too, such as like Sealy or Serta or Beautyrest. It's a mix of things, because we know that people, you know, that maybe they see a commercial for Purple and they're like, oh, well, you know, this is brand new. This seems like they have some crazy technology in here. I want to go see how that performs. But then we also know that there's people who are like tried and true, you know, Charles P. Rogers lovers, and they don't want to buy anything else, but they want to know what the best mattress is in that brand alone. So we continually test like each of these brands and just try to look for the ones with the biggest market saturation. So that means like smaller brands, we you know, we tend to keep tabs on. We probably won't test them immediately, but we try to see if they stick around, you know, for more than a couple of years, and if they are gaining traction in the marketplace.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. And then I saw that you test in a few different categories: foam, inner spring, and adjustable air. I wanted to ask about the hybrid mattress. I don't know if that is its own category, but I think it's a combination of foam and inner spring, or do you just consider those ones to be inner spring if they have any spring component?
Yeah, we consider those to be inner spring. And that's an interesting question. It's something that we've grappled with for a couple of years now. I don't think there is a single innerspring on here that is just springs. So that's sort of why we group them all together, because if you see hybrid, it's more of a marketing term.
Yes, starting to suspect that.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's, you know, nobody wants to feel springs anymore. So most companies now just layer, you know, one or two more layers of foam on top of that. It's, I don't think there is a single mattress in our ratings right now that is only springs. So it's interesting because, you know, maybe a decade or two ago, hybrid would have been, you know, much more accurate or true. But as of, you know, the last couple of years, that's certainly not the case. It's basically every inner spring is a hybrid.
Right. And then with the foam mattresses, there are big differences in the way that they're marketed and the price points. But then when I'm really looking at them, they seem to be quite similar. Is there really a difference in the type or the density of the foam that's being used for the most part? Or is it like a block of foam is a block of foam?
That's also a very interesting question. So I actually sleep on these, you know, one of the top foam mattresses in our ratings, the Sleep On Latex Pure Green Firm. That is a solid block of latex. Let me just double check that I'm not, I'm fairly certain. Okay, there's two layers of latex. That's it. It is very firm and I love it. But I would say that it's not all the same. If you see memory foam, if you see polyurethane, if you see, I'm trying to think of like, if you see gel infused foam, they do have different densities. And even companies like Casper, on their website, you might see that they have inserted smaller foam sections into like a larger foam. So there might be a giant piece of foam that covers the entire mattress, but then there might be a second piece that's only, you know, like a foot by the width of the mattress, and it covers your bottom area or something like that. So it's supposed to give you extra support in certain areas, but it doesn't quite cover the whole mattress. And that's interesting in and of itself, because, you know, those do tend to work. And there could be, you know, four or five layers of foam and they're all different. There might be a latex layer on top and then some memory foam and then, you know, polyurethane in the middle. It's all about the design of the mattress at that point. And I hesitate to say latex is better than memory foam, or any sort of judgment like that, because we honestly don't see a difference. It's sort of how the foam is organized within the actual, you know,
okay.
yeah, inside
of it. So this is kind of blowing my mind, because I thought that all foam mattresses were memory foam, but you're saying no, that foam mattresses are not necessarily memory foam, that there's memory foam is its own thing.
Yes. Yes. We make that distinction chemically.
I know. And that's where it gets really complicated. And maybe that's right. Why I kind of checked out at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And it's even for us, trying to go through that, it's difficult. It's difficult to know if, okay, here's polyurethane, you know, from batch to batch for, you know, factories that make this type of foam, it can be, the structure can be different, just depending on if they messed up, like how, you know, it's very strange. The best way I can describe it is that it's just, I guess like the, obviously like cheaper, like we do see that the cheaper the mattress, it likely will have a very cheap foam and sometimes may not be as supportive as other mattresses. And that, you know, and I guess that might just be that, like, they mix up a batch, they don't really care what's in there, they throw it in the mattress, and then that's it. But yeah, that's not, I mean, I would say that we're gathering data about it, and it's something that certainly is interesting to us. But as far as we can tell, you know, a mattress might have polyurethane and be at the very bottom of our ratings, or it might have polyurethane and be at the very top. And it comes down to, you know, whatever that chemical structure is, and it's hard to like pinpoint what exactly they did to get it to be either really good or really bad.
Right, right. Okay. Yep. I think I remember, and maybe it's because when I was first shopping for mattresses, I remember that memory foam was kind of the big thing. And that I remember the commercials about how you could have a glass of wine on one end of the bed and somebody jumping on the other and it wouldn't, you know, or people, you know, you remember the image of people like pressing their hands into the mattress and right. how long the impression would stay there and that kind of thing. So that's why that's kind of burned into my brain. Yes, it is interesting. I'm glad that you guys have, you know, a system for figuring that out so that we don't have to know all of the chemical properties of polyurethane and latex.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, and we are, you know, like to, I know off-gassing is a big thing and that tends to happen more with foam mattresses. That is something that we're looking into. And then I also know that, like, you know, some cheaper mattresses, there might be, we do use human subjects who lie on the mattress, and we had a gentleman sleep on one, and he reported that he felt like after a few months, the mattress felt very stiff, like the memory foam had almost like turned into like cardboard underneath.
Oh
him.
No. Yeah. That would be the worst.
Yeah. But again, it's sort of like, you know, there's a memory foam that never does that. And then there might be cases where it does. And that could come down to how sweaty a person is. So it's very difficult to tease out what exactly caused that change. But yeah, no, it is, again, yeah, something we're keeping tabs on for sure.
Okay, yeah. Well, I want to get into the recommendations that you have in each category. But first, just want to talk a little bit about kind of, so you have this sort of a lot of different mattresses that you're testing, and then you end up with a few different recommendations, but really just maybe top three. So how do you kind of get from point A to point B, like from the top of the funnel to the bottom of the funnel? Is it really just the engineers and the different testers, reviews and ratings on the different categories? And I think you mentioned it was durability, support, pressure, and firmness, and that kind of shakes out, gives you an overall score, and then the top score in each category is your pick. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so I guess I would say that the biggest thing that we look for is support. So that means that if you are a, you know, a small female side sleeper who, you know, doesn't take up much of the bed, or if you're like a hulking basketball player, maybe that's an extreme example, but like a bigger dude who sleeps on his back, what we're looking for are mattresses that no matter how you sleep, they can be supportive. And typically the mattresses that do a better job of supporting a range of body types and how, you know, whether on you're on your side or your back, how well you, basically the spinal alignment, how well they keep that in place. So the best mattresses that you typically see at the top of our ratings score very well for each of those categories. And that's petite, side sleeper, average, large, and tall side sleeper, and then petite, average, large, and tall back sleeper. Then the other, yep, like I said, durability, and I think we have another one is stability, which is, you know, how bouncy the mattress is. Are you going to, you know, joggle your partner when you get into bed? Comfort scores are actually Consumer Reports members who have bought a mattress in that brand. And that's like, I think around 73,000 responses over the course of a decade to get that. And not every mattress has it, but it is a good sense of like whether somebody found that mattress comfortable or not.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And so let's get to the kind of picks in each category. You have the foam, innerspring, and then the adjustable air. So the best innerspring, can you talk about that one?
Sure. And I've also slept on that one for a while too. That is the avocado green. It's like for basically every sleeper, it, you know, for support, it receives our top marks. It's also, at least our members found it to be excellent in terms of comfort. So that's also our top mark. There's really nothing to say about it negatively. It is a little bouncy, but I've seen other reviews where people don't, you know, they're like, oh, well, my partner and I don't really experience this as much. Some people don't like to jump on a bed and it feels springy. Would you like me to talk about the second best in innersprings?
Yes, but I did want to mention that avocado green also seems to be one of, just based on my quick research, seems to be one of the most affordable mattresses on the list. It was from $645 to around $1,400 for a queen, I believe. So a really well-priced mattress. And then as an innerspring, it's also going to be probably some form of a hybrid, right? So there's not just springs, but there's some other stuff in there too.
Yeah, and the avocado green, I guess I liked them a lot because they, at least for most of the materials in that mattress, they tried to get global organic latex standard and global organic, I believe, the wool and textile standards as well. So they're trying to use as green as possible products without, you know, a ton of chemicals in it. And you know, just in general, it's a great mattress. So that on top of it makes it a really good choice.
Right. And so, yeah, let's hear the second best.
Sure. Because of the pandemic, we haven't had a chance to test the most recent Casper mattress. So we still are, maybe this is like an interesting point. Casper mattresses overall tend to rank really well. And this isn't a knock on them at all, but the second best mattress in our innerspring ratings is the 2019 Casper Hybrid. But that is an interesting point because that's another thing to consider. Casper tends to change their formulation or however they design their mattresses nearly year to year. So if you buy a Casper from 2017 and say that you love it and your friend buys the 2018 version, it may not be the same exact mattress.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I hate it when companies do that. I mean, shoe manufacturers do that all the time, too.
Yeah, and it's hard to tell what they're tweaking or like, right. And we ask them, I guess it's a combination of us asking them to let us know if they've done that so we can retest it. And then it's also trying to, you know, just like buying a sample ourselves and cutting it open just to see if it looks different. So I guess I just say that, you know, it is the second best in our ratings and they tend to be toward the top of our charts. So it's not really a knock. It's just also, you know, if somebody raves about it, I would strongly caution somebody to at least go try and sleep on it. I get that that's very difficult to do right now, but it may or may not be like similar to what your friend has or somebody else you know.
Right. Absolutely. And I think a lot of folks associate, at least I've always associated Casper with foam mattresses. So I didn't even know that they had a spring mattress available. So that's good to know.
Yeah, it's only within the last 2 years or two. And so, yeah, I think the hybrid was actually a debut for 2019. So it's very new. And it seems like Casper is like trying to expand that line very quickly. So right. It's interesting.
Well, do you think that that's a trend that the industry is moving in terms of, maybe for a while everything was foam and now springs are coming back into fashion a little bit?
Yeah, I think honestly it is market share. Innersprings are still the most popular mattress you're going to find. So if Casper realizes, oh, okay, you know, I think it's like around 40% is foam and, you know, 50 something is innerspring, and there's like a smaller percentage of people who like adjustable air. I could be off, but I'm just saying like foam is smaller than innerspring, and Casper might just be looking to capture that market share.
Okay. Yep. That's interesting. That's good to know. So is there a third best in the innerspring that you can mention or not?
Sure. Yeah. We have Ethan Allen's signature platinum plush, and that's a bit pricier than both the Casper and the avocado green. So that's also interesting because it's like when you see these price, it's at $2,200. So if avocado is like around $1,400 and Casper is around $1,200, you're spending like a grand more on this, and it's not necessarily better in terms of support. But then again, if you like Ethan Allen, or if or maybe right. You get tested out and you're like, oh, this isn't bad. I mean, and you can afford it, that's totally fine. And I'm sure it wouldn't be like a giant difference between the avocado and the Ethan Allen. It's just that you don't need to spend that much if you're not looking to spend that much.
Right, right. Yeah. Another one that I would not have even known about. So it's
yeah, good
to know. Yeah. So then onto the foam mattresses. So what's the best foam mattress that you tested?
Sure. That is going to be the Essentia Stratami. And this is like a case where it is expensive, but it is the best.
Right. I was surprised at the price of this one. It starts at around $2,000 up to $4,200, which is the price of some of the very, very, you know, plush innerspring mattresses. I would associate with the $4,000 to $5,000 ranges. I was surprised, but tell us about why it's so great.
Yeah, I believe Essentia is another one of those companies that is trying to use only organic materials. It is another mattress that is supportive for all types of sleepers. So we obviously give it a very high rating, and even our members found it to like enough, like the avocado, it earns an excellent for comfort. Just to show the difference between like the Casper hybrid, for example, earned a very good, which is like next best to comfort, but not at the very top. So that's like it, for the Essentia Stratami, our members at least feel very highly about it. And that is interesting. And they felt the $3,000 or, you know, the $4,000 they spent on it to be worth it.
Oh, well, that's great to know. Yeah. If you're going to spend that much on a mattress, you do want it to be worth it. What about the next best in that category?
Right. So the next one is the mattress that I mentioned that I sleep on. It's only $800. And this is not an endorsement in any way. It is the Sleep On Latex Pure Green Firm. And it earns a 4 out of 5 or like a very good for comfort. But again, it was another mattress that all around was supportive for many different body types and for both side and back sleepers. It also, the latex is Global Organic Latex Standard certified, which means that it is pure latex. There's not like a mixture of other foams in there. And so I was like, you know what, that's affordable for me. I just want a foam mattress. And it's been great so far.
Right. And so you have the firm, does it come in different designations or is it just that that's part of the name and that's what it is?
Yeah. It's funny because one of my bosses actually has medium because
Oh, okay.
I felt the firm was way too firm. And I believe there is a soft as well. So you definitely don't have to get the firm. We just tested the firm because we like to, I guess that's another marketing thing that we like to look for. a lot of, like, you might see something that's like a hybrid firm, you know, like Sensation Dreamer or something. I'm just making up a mattress name, but, and we test to see if it actually is firm. And sometimes it tends to score on, you know, the softer side of that scale. And so we have to caution people, you know, if you're expecting a firm mattress, this really isn't.
And people are very particular about that too. If someone wants a firm mattress, they want a firm mattress. So you need to give that disclaimer there. And then is there a number three for that one?
Right. So we're back to Casper again. And it's foam. It's the foam Casper from 2019. Again, the same thing. They changed the formulation in their foam mattress. But it is $1,100, and it actually scores quite similar to the hybrid version of it. So I'm wondering, you know, I'm not totally sure of the makeup, but I would think that they would have engineered one and then maybe made the other one into a hybrid is my guess. But again, like the Sleep on Latex, it's $300 more expensive. It's $1,100, but it does support basically every type of sleeper. It's very stable. I mean, most foam mattresses are pretty stable, but Casper is really good at that. If you hear about them all the time and, you know, people are recommending them to you, it's definitely not a bad pick.
Yeah, they seem to be very popular. And again, that's just not an endorsement for me because I don't own one, but I hear about them all the time. So then moving on to best adjustable, I think a lot of people are interested in this type of bed, maybe aren't sure, I think, if they want to spend the money because it maybe might be a switch or something that's new to them. Let's talk about this category. Which one did you find to be the best?
Sure. And this is actually an interesting category because there aren't that many adjustable. So Sleep Number, they're the biggest. They earn our top slot for that category. But what's interesting is that, you know, our top bed is the Sleep Number 360 P6 smart bed. But then right below that, we also have the Sleep Number 360 C2 smart bed. And it's a $1,400 difference between the two. The C2, the second one I mentioned, is $1,000 and the P6 is $2,400. They both score very similarly. Let me see if there's any difference. It doesn't look like there is much of a support difference or a comfort difference between the two. And that, you know, it looks like there's a firmness difference. So it's sort of like if you want a less firm mattress, the P6 is the one to go for. And if you, you know, don't want as much foam above above the air bladders that are inside the bed, which is what makes it an air mattress, then you can go for a C2. It's interesting because it's just a lot more money to pay for maybe a softer mattress, but by the same company, so it's very similar.
Right. And so the key benefit of an adjustable mattress would be that you can change the softness or the firmness to your liking, or that couples could adjust their side of the bed to their preference, right? Are there any other, I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, and even in our testing though, we've found that the tests that we've done is that there's not a huge change in how much softness or firmness you can get it to move. So it might be like a couple of points or maybe like one or two points in either direction, but if it's around, you know, if it's a fairly firm bed as it is, that doesn't, you know, you probably wouldn't notice a huge difference. Right. So it's interesting. I mean, I think you could, that's at least in terms of our testing, that's what we've found. So it almost seems like another marketing tool. I do think.
Right. Maybe, like how much can you really notice, you know, if you change it a couple points in either direction, although, you know, you would certainly want to, after you spent a few thousand dollars on an adjustable bed. So,
yeah. And they definitely make more expensive ones. So maybe, you know, maybe their technology is better in those. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And one of our local sleep labs where people go for a sleep study, an overnight sleep study, if they suspect sleep apnea or another health concern, they use Sleep Number beds in the sleep lab, which I found interesting. Yeah, it really, it speaks to kind of the durability, I think. Although, and again, I don't have firsthand experience with this brand, but to be using it in sort of a medical or a more industrial setting where people are going to be sleeping on it night after night after night and adjusting it night after night after night.
And that does bring up an interesting, in one of our surveys that we conduct about mattresses, I do believe that people who have sleep issues or back problems have reported that they find more comfort or at least more support with adjustable air mattresses and specifically Sleep Number. So, I mean, it again, and maybe that small change might make a bigger difference to somebody who's struggling to sleep versus, you know, a normal person.
Right. Absolutely. And if you're seeking treatment for a sleep issue, also it makes sense that maybe your preferences would change a little bit as you progress along the treatment program. Right. And then that would be nice to just be able to adjust your mattress without replacing it. So I can see that being a good option there. So you mentioned, I think you mentioned all the three picks for that category, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So are there other kind of little subcategories that you get into, like recommendations for hot sleepers or maybe best options for couples or really light sleepers, anything like that?
Yeah, we, I mean, I guess this is sort of like we look at our ratings and take a slice of it. It is, I would say that that's one of the things we look for, but we don't give it a score based on, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Couples is a mixture of the most stable mattresses and also the ones that support a number of body types in case, you know, you and your partner are very different and you want a mattress that can at least cater to both of you. But yeah, we do look for the warmest mattresses. I would say that foam tends to sleep warmer. It is, you know, like a big,
right.
A big impenetrable block. And I mean, let me see if I can find the warmest. It's been a little time since I have looked into that. But yeah, and typically we basically look at what, you know, like whether it has, like, I guess in general, the more layers of foam, the more likely it is to sleep warm. We also look at what types of like foam are in there that may cause it to sleep warm. But I do know that's a big issue for people because they tend to get really sweaty at night and wake up a lot. And that's not.
Right. Yeah. And that has been, I know then that's a big marketing thing as well for there's, you know, some mattresses that claim to keep you cooler, but it's hard to see how they could if the foams all have kind of similar properties, how one could be cooler than the other. So yeah, hard to kind of wade through that marketing.
Right. And I believe one that we've found that actually is foam and doesn't retain heat is the purple mattress. Let me pull up another one. Again, adjustable air, just because they are mostly air on the inside, are good if you tend to sleep warm because they...
Oh yeah, that's a good note.
Yeah, they there's less, obviously, like it, obviously heat kind of dissipates in those air bladders,
right?
In foam, it kind of just sits there. And then for inner spring, let me see. Oh, interesting. Innerspring, I would say that as a general rule, they mostly tend to sleep like cool. And I think that again is because the springs add a lot of air pockets.
Makes sense. Yep. What about wool mattresses? Did you find any that kind of rose to any of the tops of your categories? I know there are some out there that are supposed to be more natural and have kind of the moisture wicking product properties of wool. But I don't think I see any that have any wool mattresses on your list, or at least in the top three.
Yeah, I know Avocado Green has a wool cover But okay. It doesn't have it inside. And that's interesting too. Yeah, we don't have horse hair or I think what you are you referring to those mattresses that are sort of stuffed with?
It's been a while since I looked into it, but I do remember seeing some that have actually wool kind of filling instead of like a plastic or some kind of a foam.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that we could look into. It might just be that the market size for those is smaller. I know that luxury mattresses tend to do that more often than non-luxury mattresses.
Right, right.
But no, that's certainly something that we could look into.
So it's not a big category at this time, sounds like.
No, and I'm wondering if that's simply because well, that doesn't make sense because I'm not sure. Maybe it's just the American market versus like a European market kind of thing.
Yeah. And that also brings up, do you guys test any IKEA mattresses? I know that they're certainly popular, but I think they're hard for folks to get if they don't live near an IKEA.
Oh, interesting. We do. And in general, we're kind of like toward the middle of our ratings. Mm-hmm. There are a few. There's, it looks like we have an IKEA Hidrasund, which earns an overall score of 72. It's basically right in the middle for everything in terms of side and back sleepers and comfort. Actually, it's a bit better for back sleepers than side sleepers. IKEA mattresses in general, it's funny because I want to say you get what you pay for, but there are clearly mattresses that don't. That cost around that same price range of, you know, a couple hundred to like between $300 and $700 that are perform better maybe than IKEA mattresses. I guess though, if you're in like a one-stop shop, maybe it's easier just to pick up a roll and go. Or if you're a college student and it doesn't matter as much if your mattress feels good, then you pick up an IKEA mattress.
Right, right. Yep. They are certainly portable. Yep, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, are there any other brands or mattresses that you wanted to mention? Is there anything that surprised you while you were looking into this lineup for 2020?
You know, it's funny. I guess the one thing I'll say is that, we haven't retested the avocado green because they haven't changed their formula. And yet, it year after year, at least for the last few years that I've been writing about mattresses for Consumer Reports, it hasn't changed a position in our ratings. And that to me is very interesting. Like there are some companies that sort of just always hang up in the top and they don't really go anywhere. And so it's interesting in the sense that like you can almost rely on them, but then you have like Casper that changes its formula. But all I was gonna say about that is just that you're likely to find a very good mattress within the $800 to $1,100 range. And I mean, if you're having trouble, I guess I can say I've spoken to sleep experts and they recommend to look at our ratings if you're having trouble deciding, only because I know that there are so many review sites out there that don't fully test mattresses. And that, you know, I get that I'm plugging myself, but I guess I'm just saying I get that it's confusing and that companies either they, you know, hold true or they change. And it's hard to kind of suss that out as a consumer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And just like you mentioned before, somebody could rave about their mattress, but they bought it 5 years ago. And now you're looking this year and it's going to be a completely different product that you're getting. So it is something that is, it's hard to know as a consumer, and there is just so much marketing out there, which is why I am so glad that I got to talk to you. Well, thank you so much. This has been so interesting and I learned a lot and I have some new mattresses on my list to check out.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Malia, for having me.
Yeah. Where can people learn more about you?
Sure. Yeah. Consumerreports.org. I am basically the sleep products writer And you can just hit me up on Twitter at Hania Ray if you have any mattress questions or sleep related questions, and I'm happy to respond.
Sure. So you guys have your mattress report, the best mattresses. What other sleep products do you review, and when would those reports be coming out?
Yeah, so we do also have ratings for pillows and sheets and mattress cooling pads. And then we are also working on weighted blankets, which hopefully...
Yes, everyone's interested in those.
I would say that is actually my project for the next 2 weeks after this magazine story. So yeah, I can definitely send you a link if you wanted to show. I don't know. There's no teaser I can give. I'm not totally sure we are talking about it. I do know the gravity blanket, which seems to be the most popular right now, is on that list. But yeah, I don't know how well they perform or anything like that just yet.
Awesome. Well, maybe we will have to talk about weighted blankets in the future. That sounds really interesting. And I know very little about that world. So yeah, I would have a lot to learn. Well, thank you again so much. And I really appreciate you sharing your time and your expertise with us. And we can all go to Consumer Reports and learn more.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Now you know. Thanks for checking.